I actually got into a conversation with somebody about God's rescue mission. And what does it mean? What's God's rescue mission? I've never heard of God's rescue mission. Is God on an adventure or something? What is God rescuing? Who is God rescuing? What is God rescuing us from? This Sunday, I'm going to be giving you an invitation. Whoever you are, you're here this Sunday. And at the end of our time together, I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you to make a decision to be a part of God's rescue mission. You may be on the receiving end of God's rescue mission. Maybe you've never seen yourself as somebody in need of rescue. Maybe you've never seen yourself as someone that could participate in God's rescue mission. But at the end of our time together, I'm going to ask you to make a commitment that way. And I want you to be prepared. It'll be a day that you decide to do something about what God says about what he's doing in the world. To express your decision, I'm going to ask you to come forward and come to the front. I want you to prepare for that. This is an outward expression of an inward decision. And there's nothing magical in coming forward. Walking down here doesn't make you a Christian, doesn't set you in a place where somehow walking down here there's a holy ground or something. You could come down here 1,000 times with your feet and it would make no difference at all if that's all you were doing. But as you come here with your feet, what I'm asking that you do is say with your heart that, God, I'm coming to you and being a part of your rescue mission. I'm receiving your rescue. Before I get into our sermon for today and rescue mission, there's an opportunity that we give during our service to give financially. And it's a time where we also give for you, if you have a Next Step card, to place it in the basket. The truth is that the church doesn't need your money. That God blesses the church. Take donations online and text, and people give. It's not that people say, oh, I need to give because the church needs it, or people, we need to give because God needs it. Neither is true. People that give in this way are trying to combat commercialism, they're trying to combat materialism, and they're trying to worship God. And so that's why we make it part of our church service. And so as these baskets are passed, I want to pray that God would bless every bit of our finances as a church, and that he would bless you as you endeavor in this world to be countercultural, to be a people of generosity, to be a people that are worshiping God and welcoming him into all of life, including your finances. And so I bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. As far as God's rescue mission is concerned, I want you to remember one thing. God has always wanted a life-giving relationship with us. From the beginning, God has always wanted a life-giving relationship with us. And that is against the storylines of a lot of religions. Our family is into Greek and Roman mythology because my last name is Aureli. I'm from the line of Marcus Aurelius, and so we know about Greek and Roman mythology. And all of that speaks to a completely different narrative than the one of the God of the universe, the God of Yahweh, the God of Israel, the God of Jesus. God has always wanted a life-giving relationship with him. What happened, though, was in the garden, you may have heard, the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, a decision was made. Two people, their names were Adam and Eve. And they said, we value knowledge more than relationship. And so we're going to go our own way. We'd like to prove that we can handle life on our own as long as we've got enough knowledge. And so they departed. Unfortunately, it wasn't what they were created for. God created us to be with him as the first priority. And when they left and made their own kingdom, they went against God's best. We call that sin. And sin separates us from God. Sin, unfortunately, cannot be removed by good deeds. In fact, Adam and Eve were stuck there, all of a sudden realizing they were naked. They didn't know they were naked before. They were provided clothing. They covered themselves. They hid from God because they recognized there was something wrong in the relationship, but that had never happened before in all of existence. Relationship was perfect before. All of it. Can you imagine? Perfect relationship. Perfect peace with everyone. And not just with earthlings, with people, but like with dogs. I sometimes don't like walking or running because of dogs in my neighborhood. I really wish I could have experienced the Garden of Eden. At some point, God says that the kingdom and the way that Eden was, that the lion laid down with the lamb. And that's somewhat just taken with analogy, but I think that that was true too. There was a peace, an absolute perfection. Everything and every relationship and every bit of creation was fit for its purpose. And there was nothing that Adam and Eve could do to fix it. They had broken relationship. And because a holy God had created them and they had stepped away, they were stuck. And God was stuck too. Because they had decided to take all of their identity and move on and create their own atmosphere by their own knowledge. God said, I'm sorry. Our relationship has to change. I can't walk with you like I did before. You can't have the rule and reign over the Garden of Eden like it was before. And because of what you've done, now all of relationship and all of existence has been broken. And that was to the benefit of Satan, an angel that wanted to steal and kill and destroy all that God had done. He tempted Adam and Eve, just like he tempts us today. So God has always wanted a relationship with us. But God has always also wanted to rescue us. That time in the garden, he didn't just send Adam and Eve away. In the scriptures, in the Holy Bible, it says that before the foundations of the earth, Jesus was planned for. Redemption was planned for. Forgiveness was planned for. A way for Adam and Eve and all of creation to come back and to be fit for their purpose. To be welcomed into the full rule and reign of God. So paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. And everyone who trusts in him alone enters the kingdom of God, God's dynamic rule and reign now, and receives eternal life. So what's this rescue mission all about? What does it mean that God would want to rescue us? I don't know if you've ever experienced this before, but home renovation. Home renovation is horrible. Anybody build a house before? Building a house is one of the largest causes of divorce in the United States. Do you know that? So my wife and I, we had a line that said, if this line is crossed, we will endeavor a kitchen renovation. And the line was crossed. Our appliances in the kitchen started breaking, and so we decided to break the rest of them. By accident, but we did. And all of a sudden, the stove was broken, the microwave had already broken, and we decided to tear them out, as well as the Formica countertops from 50-something years ago. And my neighbors started looking at me crazy as I put all of the 12-foot Formica countertops in the back of my SUV, and all of the mess, and I had a tray on the back with garbage pails, and the Bexar County trash people, San Antonio, they looked at me funny as I wheeled in to the dump, and they saw this SUV loaded down with construction materials, and the dust in the car has never been the same. Now, in the process of doing that, this is something that I do alone. I don't ask for any help. We don't hire any labor. This is something that we do, except for gas. We don't play with gas. We let professionals play with gas because nobody wants to, you know, explode because of what Dad did wrong. So we hired that out, but the rest I did all by myself. Don't clap. This is not the way it's supposed to be. The reason why I've done it alone is because of Adam and Eve. If relationship was the way it was supposed to be, my kitchen would be done altogether. And God would be walking through my kitchen and talking with me. He'd be dreaming with me about all the wonderful things that would be cooked on the stove, and the concrete countertops wouldn't have turned out like this as we laid them, but they would have been glass like marble. Each one of us faces something like that in our lives where we decide to go it alone. It is hard and it is big, but we don't want any help. Why would God want to rescue us? Because we're like this. We've separated ourselves. We've made ourselves independent, but weak. We've made ourselves in such a way that all we can do is compare and compare and compare. We set ourselves up and we set our own kingdoms up filled with burdens that we can't bear. We determine our own way, and our way competes with the way of every other person in the universe. Every earthling for themselves. Mothers against fathers, against children, against the weak, against the strong, against the rich, against the poor, against the Democrat, against the Republican, against the haves, against the have-nots, against the black, against the white, against the north and against the south and the east and the west. We have set ourselves up for absolute failure. But at least we're independent. Why would God want to rescue us? Unless we're rescued, we're burdened with striving against someone else for our own benefit. We're burdened with building our own kingdoms of security and pleasure and peace and making our own mark and leaving with the most toys. Anybody signed up for that? Whoever leaves with the most toys wins, right? And in relating to those burdens, we often sin even more. Sin, missing the mark of God's best. Sin, that place where we sacrifice our dignity and the dignity of others in order to feel better about those burdens that we carry. We tell ourselves that it's not that bad. We tell ourselves we'll do better next time, but we know that from time to time, and I raise my hand, the highest and the loudest and the strongest, I have done things and said things that were sinful. In order to protect what I thought I needed to protect, my own kingdom, my own separateness, my own identity apart from God. The problem is that this place, that humanity, Adam and Eve, leaves us with unachievable demands because we've begun our lives believing the lie that we must build and protect our own kingdoms. Those lies that we say to ourselves, those lies that say that it's not too bad. Those lies create fear in us. And if we went around the room and I asked you to raise your hand, who's afraid of something? Kemper already prayed for you. Afraid for our children. Afraid for our security. And praying before the service for you, I know that there's somebody here that's gotten a second notice on their car bill. And they can't pay it. And I want you to come for prayer at the end because the church wants to pay for it. But there's so many of you that are in fear because what you've tried to do is set up something based on a lie that you have to be independent, that you have to go it alone. And when those fears are not resolved, they turn to anger. And in anger, we sin too. We sin in fear, but we sin in anger as well. And when that anger is unresolved, we go to depression, and we sin in depression too. We sin against ourselves. We sin against others. We miss the mark of God's best. And when that depression's unresolved, it leads to death. God's rescue mission, what would God want to rescue us from? Could you imagine? The devil wants to steal and kill and destroy. And he's embedded lies from the beginning that say, you don't need relationship with God as your primary focus in life. You don't need his identity. You don't need his blessing. You don't need his fatherhood. Just go it alone. Build your own kingdom. And those lies ruin us. What would God want to rescue us from? He wants to rescue us from that. He wants to rescue us from the lies. He wants to rescue us from the fear. He wants to rescue us from the anger. He wants to rescue us from the depression. He wants to rescue us from death. If you're here today, please know that this message is for you. Maybe you need to receive this rescue, or maybe you're sensing the call on your life that God's inviting you into his rescue mission for somebody else. What could that rescue mission look like? Well, I think from the early times, people thought that war was the answer. God's people would get an army together and just bloody the best out of the rest of the world in order to make lands that would be ruled by kings that would do their best to make God's rescue, I don't know, real? But it never worked. And so Jesus came. And why did he die? He died to make the biggest invitation to us. God's rescue mission is not done by force. God's rescue mission is done by invitation. The invitation works like this. And these are Jesus' invitations. The first is rest. Jesus invites us to rest. So whether you're needing God's rescue mission or you wanting to be invested in God's rescue mission, please know it doesn't come by force. It can sometimes be awkward, as invitations are. But it's not with anger or shame. It's an invitation to rest first, because we know that sin has produced a restlessness in our world. We know that we have made kingdoms of our own unachievable demands, leading to fear and anger and depression and death. And so Jesus says, come and rest. He says in Matthew 11, 28, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Don't carry what doesn't fit. I give you what fits, so you can rest and live a life of freedom. The second invitation is to a way that actually works. Raise your hand if you've ever lived in a way that didn't work. The second invitation is to a way that works. Daily guidance from the creator of the universe, the way of Jesus. This invitation might be a little uncomfortable, though, because it means surrendering to any other way. Surrendering every other way to Jesus, saying, my way doesn't work. I surrender. I want your way. And when we surrender, we get to accept God's invitation of a way that works. In Luke 9, Jesus said, any of you who wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily. Follow me. If you hang on to your old life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? The third invitation, is to unimaginable impact. The first is to rest. The second is to a way that works. But the third is to a life of unimaginable impact. You see, Adam and Eve didn't know. They thought that if they made their own kingdoms, they could design their own impact, and it would be much greater than a relationship God would ever create. And God said, no. You have no idea what I can do for you. I would do anything for you. There's somebody here who needs to hear that this morning. I would do anything for you. I would do anything for you. I have done everything for you so you could have unimaginable impact. Power, mission, resources that address the biggest needs. When you watch the news, you don't just want to turn it off because you feel helpless. When you watch the news, your heart and your mind go to God's rescue mission and his unimaginable impact on the world. Global climate change, war, politics, family needs, relationships that are too hard to engage anymore, job stuff, money stuff. God wants to give us the power and the mission and the resources that would make unimaginable impact in our greatest needs. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I'll ask the Father, and he will give you an advocate that would never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. You see, life with Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, it starts now. We enter into the rule and reign of God that changes everything, but it lasts forever. We get eternal life that changes our identity. It changes the way we see what we need and what we create. It changes what we live for. And it gives us peace that we never had. In Matthew, Jesus is really hard on anybody that would get in the way of this rescue mission. He says, if you get in the way, better for you to throw a stone around your foot and be thrown in the ocean. I want my people back. Don't you get in the way. And if you want to come to me, it doesn't take a lot of work, but it does take a change. You must become like a child, he said. Anybody who wants to be part of my rule and reign with unimaginable impact and a way that works and real rest in your life, you've got to let me be your father. You've got to become like these kids who trust in their parents for everything. If you let me be that for you, you'll have amazing life. He's passionate about his rescue mission because if you were the only one, he would leave 99 others and go out for you. He gives this parable about sheep, 99 of them, but the one has gone astray and he goes after the one. That's somebody here today. You. Jesus is coming after you, leaving the 99 behind because he's passionate about rescuing you from your stuff. Rescuing you from your fear, from your lies, from the anger, from the depression. And he's present even though you can't see or hear him. He's always there. He's always been there. And no matter how bad your life is, no matter how bad you've sinned, because I know there are some absolutely rotten people in here with absolutely secret sins, welcome to the party. In Romans 5:6, he says, when we were utterly helpless. This is Paul, who, by the way, Jesus met when he was on his way to kill a bunch of Christians. He says this, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time. For some of you today, this is just the right time, and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. They've got their own kingdoms they need to protect. Though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good, you get something out of that. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we are still sinners. Galatians 1:4, Paul writes again, he said, Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. You've watched the news, you've been on social media, you know what the evil world looks like when everybody has competing kingdoms filled with fear and lies and anger and depression and death. You know what that looks like. And so tell me if you're not passionate about a rescue mission that could change the world. Tell me if you're not excited about being involved, being invested, receiving the invitation and taking it and say, yes, God, I want to be changed. I don't want to be added up with the rest. I want to be a part of your kingdom. I'm laying my kingdom behind. I want your rest. I want your way and I want your mission. And for some of you, you never knew that every time you watched the news that God was inviting you to be a part of what he was doing. That today, when you leave, you could be a part of God's rescue mission. God is inviting you into his rescue mission today. The invitations that you've heard are not mine. They're by Jesus himself. No man or woman has ever had complete rest apart from Jesus. Everybody distressed, troubled, weary, he says, come. Do you want to know rest? Do you want to know joy? Do you want to know peace, security? Do you want to know real affection that you don't have to fight for, strive for? Do you want to know what it means to belong? Then surrender today. I guarantee that you will know peace from God. I guarantee if you surrender to him that you will know peace from God. A peace for your soul, a peace for your mind, and a joy that you have never experienced. Someone has said it's like only knowing black and white, and when Jesus comes, we see color. To not decide is to decide. Now is the day of salvation. You might not have another moment when your heart is touched the way it is right now. And I know that in a congregation of this size, there are those of whom God is calling. And so I want you to be bold this morning. Not embarrassed, bold. I want to be a part of that. I told you before that I was going to ask some people to stand. Would you stand right now? Do you want to be involved in God's rescue mission? Do you want to receive the invitation? Be bold and stand right now. Right now, stand. Stand. Now is the day of salvation. Do you want to receive the invitation? Do you want to receive the invitation? Stand. Do you want to receive the invitation of Jesus to come and rest? Stand. And for those who would receive him for the first time, would you come forward? Come right here. Come stand next to me. Are you willing to say yes to Jesus? Are you willing to say yes to the invitation? I know there's somebody here. Would you come? Would you come? Don't be afraid. We're going to cheer for you. We're going to joy with you. We're going to be with you. This is not something to be embarrassed about. This is something to be proud of. This is you laying down everything else and saying yes to Jesus because you know that you haven't had peace. You know that the lies and the fear and the anger and the depression have taken over. You want a better way. Come stand next to me this morning. I know there's one. There are prayer ministry teams for you this morning. They're going to be in this front corner for any emotional, physical, or spiritual need. There are words up on the screen, prophetic words for people. We have been praying this morning for you. Please respond to these words. There are those of you that need to respond to what it means to be a part of God's rescue mission. Would you raise your hand? You want to get in the business of going out into the world and rescuing others with Jesus. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you this morning. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, be filled with Jesus. Be filled with his call. Be filled with his rescue mission, that you would go out from this place not fearing your own life, but being so invested in what he's invested in, being so passionate in what he's passionate about, that your hearts, right now even, right now the Holy Spirit's, he's touching some of you, falling on some of you. The burden, his burden to rescue people is coming upon you. I bless you in Jesus' name to that. And there are some of you that need to pray this prayer, but I want to pray with you. Would we have the prayer of salvation up on the screen, please? We pray together, especially for those who weren't bold enough to come up this morning. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm so sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. Can we say together, because we all need to say it, please forgive me. I now turn from everything which I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me, so I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This week, I bless you to be a part of God's rescue mission wherever you go. This week, I bless you to take his invitation for freedom, peace, and joy. This week, I bless you in Jesus' name. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and go with him, with his business and what he's passionate about. I bless you in Jesus' name.